Excellent. Okay, there we are. It's Siren FM, and it's a Tuesday morning, and it's time for another summer special in terms of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. And on a packed programme today, to quote a cliché, we will be featuring Miranda Sawyer talking about the recent Frame National Art Audit, when in fact the nation spoke and elected Banksy with Balloon Girl as their favourite artwork currently. Lots of other sort of surprises coming in with respect to that. We've also got the amazingly talented Hannah Brown making a welcome return from Harwich to keep us updated on what she's been getting up to. Richard Fitzwilliams will be talking about City of Ghosts and Julius Caesar and the Royals, and we'll also be featuring the delights of Tessa Snart from Glinton. Maybe, even just maybe, we might be linking up with Phil Leonis in Los Angeles. Mind you, it is quite late there. It's coming up to 12 minutes past 11 p.m. on Wednesday, so they haven't quite made the crossover to Thursdays yet. It is 12 minutes past 7 on a fine Tuesday, where the weather will have a high of 18 degrees centigrade, a low of 13 degrees centigrade. It'll be a day of sunny spells and scattered showers.
Doesn't
wonderful facets of human nature that clearly polarises folk across the centuries. And with the nation's favourite British artworks now being revealed, where modern artists such as Banksy are seen as the equivalents of classic old masters, who better to actually provide an insight into the importance of art, and indeed some of the choices of the nation's favourite artworks, than the legendary cultural correspondent extraordinaire, it's the one and only Miranda Sawyer. How are
Hello.
You, Miranda?
Hello, I like being called legendary. That's very nice of you.
You are, Miranda. That's a critical thing from this point of view. So Banksy, an old master, eh? Who'd have thought it?
Yes, it's very odd. I mean, this kind of survey was commissioned by the Frame National Art Audit, and they asked 2,000 British adults to kind of vote for their favourite artworks. And they gave a short list, and, you know, so things were kind of shuffled around. But Banksy's Balloon Girl was really, really definitely the most popular. It kind of got 44% of people saying they definitely wanted it. And I think that's because if you think about art in general, the art that people seem to have chosen or gone for is one that's kind of come out of the gallery. So you've got Banksy's Balloon Girl, that's number one, but you've also got at number five, Gormley's The Angel of the North. Mm. You've got Jack Vetriano's The Singing Butler, which is kind of not normally displayed in an art gallery. I don't know if you know that one. It's a kind of romantic image of a couple dancing. Yeah,
that's an interesting one. And again, those of us who can remember back to the 70s are still pleased to see Constable's The Hay Wain in at number two, which is
yes, that's
quite
more
surprising.
Traditional,
exactly,
perhaps.
Yes.
But I mean, if you go down, you've got the Sgt. Pepper album cover. Mm. That's number nine. You've got the Dark Side of the Moon cover that's number eight, and Dark Side of the Moon's number nine. So yeah, it's kind of artwork that's got out and people really like, I think.
Yes. No sign of the unmade bed. Some folk might also say, well, what happened to Tracy Emin's side of things from that point of view? Or indeed the well-known sort of the slice of formaldehyde that was also offered a few years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you said the unmade bed, I was going to say, well, you could recreate that in your own home, but
of course,
perhaps not with the
not with the essence of the whole sort of side.
No. I mean, I think the idea behind it is that people want the Frame, which is a new telly by Samsung. The idea of that is that you can put it up on the wall, and it's a telly that that everybody has. Mm. But then it acts like a piece of art when it's not being used, so you can display the artwork that you want. And what they were interested in is what kind of artwork do you want to display? And the thing that's quite nice about that is actually you could do different ones for different moods. So if you're feeling kind of, you know, romantic and cheerful, you can put Banksy's Balloon Girl in there. But if you're feeling a bit darker, then you can pick some of the darker works. Because I was quite interested that things like Francis Bacon wasn't there, but I just think that people perhaps don't always want to live with really dark work.
Or indeed Munch's The Scream.
Yes, exactly. Although it's only British, you see. So that was edited out.
Have we kind of stepped away from surrealism? Because I noticed that, I mean, we're about 90 years ago since the surrealists were kind of in vogue, and appreciate we're looking at British artists. But I mean, or would you say Peter Blake's probably the closest we get to in terms of a sort of surrealist experience?
Yeah, there's not much. I mean, there really isn't. There aren't any kind of surreal stuff there, really. I mean, there's kind of quite specific. I think the images are all quite graphic. So there's things that you recognise, and there's a lot of romance in the top one. So you've got the Hay Wain, which is a beautiful kind of landscape, but we all know it. So you've got Lowry there. That's quite graphic, the way that he works. And the Lady Charlotte is not a kind of graphic work, but it's very recognisable. And I think it's things that have got kind of visual punch, that you know what they are. That's what people want. And obviously surrealism has a kind of visual punch. But I just think that maybe we weren't, you know, British people were not quite as good at surrealism as others.
I don't know about that. I mean, bring it on, as the Python people would probably say, although you might argue it was an American who actually sort of added his sort of last aspects to that. In terms of portraiture, because that's another one which I thought was quite interesting, that people like, I mean, most of the sort of things you mentioned, the sort of classic, it's views that you can look for, areas of that, as opposed to looking at portraits of kings and queens, presumably.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they're just not really there at all, are they? I mean, it's no kind of deliberate, you know, other than, you know, the Lady of Shalom, who's a kind of mythical figure. You know, there's not very many traditional portraits at all. But I think that that's perhaps because if we want to put portraits up in our house, we want to put pictures of ourselves up, you know, on our kids and perhaps our dogs. You know, so that's a kind of different kind of portraiture. I don't really particularly want to, you know, you know, I'm not a royalist, but even if I was, I'm not saying that I would like a lovely picture of the Queen in my house. I might want a picture of
Oliver Cromwell, perhaps. And indeed, a sort of famous folk as well. I suppose that's the other sort of side of things which came across, because clearly we live in a century where the personification of stardom, etc. So no portraiture of David Beckham in there, thankfully.
No, sadly not. Maybe if it, you know, Banksy had done David Beckham, exactly, then he would be in there.
So what is your personal favourite, Miranda, in terms of the top 20? I mean, we've listed our way through that. I mean, I must admit, I put in a personal plug. I mean, I do like the L.S. Lowry going to the match, because I think it carries with it whole range of things. Gormley's Angel of the North, it was a surprising number five, but did well. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fond of Lowry. I'm from the North. You know, we used to go and see...
We bring civilisation to the world, Miranda. That's the bottom line.
And I used to go to... There's a Lowry kind of museum that I used to go to when I was a kid. So I definitely would vote for that. But also, there's one just outside the top ten, which is David Hockney's A Bigger Splash, which is that beautiful picture of a kind of LA swimming pool. And I would quite like that, you know, to kind of cheer me up on a winter's day.
I think that would work well. Interesting enough, again, there is a certain postmodern feel to actually having something which you can actually produce on Samsung televisions, the frame, and actually enjoy that side of things. It's strange but wonderfully 21st century at the same
time. Isn't it great? Because I just think the thing that's really brilliant about it is that you can choose what you want. So, you know, if you are feeling quite jolly in LA, then up goes Hockney. And if you're feeling a bit, you know, kind of rebellious, then at number 20 there was Jamie Reed's Nevermind the Bollocks cover. So you could put that up as well. So it just depends on your mood. I think it's brilliant.
And in terms of best way to actually find out further details about the top 20 and more, where would people go to, Miranda?
Well, I think they would go to the news.samsung.com. That would kind of, that's up there. But to be honest, you can buy a newspaper. It's all over the press.
How wonderfully traditional. Exactly. Purchase a newspaper. My words.
I know. I'm very traditionalist like
wonderful.
That.
Wonderful. Miranda, it's been lovely talking to you yourself today. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme?
I've had a lovely telephonic link.
Marvellous. Well, hopefully we can look forward to connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Fabulous.
Buy a newspaper. Amazing. Good morning, Lisa Maria Schwarzenauer. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent. I gather that you have indeed done duty for our first telephonic correspondent this morning at the Sow Festival in Skegness.
Yes.
Is that true, Sarah Bullimore? Has Lisa Maria Schwarzenauer worked with you at the Sow Festival in Skegness?
It is indeed.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Just shows that magical, sort of feeling when things are connected in every sense of the way. Just referring back to Miranda Sawyer from the Culture Show there and her views there, this was apropos of a recent survey that Samsung Television actually constructed, because you can now, with the thinness of television, effectively hang the artwork that you wish in the sense of a television set on your wall, and you can change that artwork around. Apparently 70% of us exhibit artworks at home, but 73% of Brits, so a little under three quarters, admit that they judge people by the art hanging on their walls. So, Sarah, what do you actually have hanging on your wall whilst Lisa actually opens the door and opens it up for Shaley McKenzie to actually join us, to share with us?
I have quite a lot hanging on my wall, actually, everywhere. Lots of Audrey Hepburn stuff, and Breakfast at Tiffany's and posters and things. But probably not the kind of artwork I'd really like. I'd love Degas ballet dancers, so I have postcard renditions of it. But
now, would you consider?
That'll be my preferred choice.
Would you consider a television set in which you can actually change the image on a daily basis? And looking at again the nation's favourite artworks, again it was revealed yesterday, Henry Moore coming out at number 19, Bridget Riley Movement in Squares, that was 11% at 50%, David Hockney A Bigger Splash at 14%. So the top five: Anthony Gormley's Angel of the North, Turner's The Fighting Temeraire, Singing Butler by Jack Vetriano at number 3, John Constable, surprise choice there, as I said in the interview, The Hayway at number 2, and Banksy Balloon Girl at 1.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love, there's so much lovely artwork out there that I'd definitely do something.
Let's ask Shaley McKenzie. Shaley, would you consider hanging a visual screen on your wall with a specific artwork, or would you say, no, I don't have anything on my walls whatsoever? Or is it a case of walls? What are they?
If I was so attached to a piece of artwork, then definitely. Banksy is one of my favourite artists, so it would probably be one of his pieces.
Right. Let's see, number one. No sign, as we mentioned, of Tracy Emin's Unmade Bed.
That's disappointing.
Well, Miranda did actually say you could conceivably have your own sort of version of that in your own
anyway,
sort of way.
Yeah.
Exactly. And nor indeed Damien Hirst's formaldehyde exhibit. So I suppose people might say it's just too strong, really, to actually have those. Might be giving you all the kind of wrong impressions to that point of view. Okay, let's move on, Sarah. A couple of weeks ago, we were focusing on the Newark Book Festival. We ran our little pieces last week, and both Natasha Armstrong and myself were very, very impressed with the whole sequence. How did you feel it went, as this was your first production as far as the New York Book Festival is concerned, as effectively being main coordinator and so on?
It went absolutely fantastic, Alex, because of course when I caught up with you guys, it was just at the very beginning, really, of the weekend. And it was an amazing weekend. It went so fast indeed, and still recovering already. It feels like months ago already. But no, it was fantastic. We had amazing attendance over the 2 days. The weather stayed dry for us, which was great. And we had some lovely reactions from audiences and artists alike. So it was a huge success all round.
Well, I mean, inevitably it's got the Bullimore seal of approval. Lisa Maria, tell us about your experience of the SOW Festival. Was it what you were expecting? Was it a case of, well, you British, you're so strange and wacky, I expect anything as an Austrian?
I had no real expectations because, as you said, you never know what happens in Britain. But it was really
that's
a lot
the fun
of fun. Yeah, definitely. So you're always surprised. But it was really pleasantly surprised. It was a really fun weekend. So it was a really great festival.
So you'd
happily
endorse it for next year.
Yeah, definitely.
And were you a full ambassador for the festival?
No, basically we were volunteering and we're interviewing people about their experience at the festival.
Oh, and what was the response that they were giving?
Overwhelmingly positive for most people.
Positive.
Yeah, most people were really like, yeah, we love that. We come back for every year. Yeah. So there were some critical voices, but they're always there, you know.
Got to hold my hand up and say, yet again, I didn't manage to get to the SOW Festival this year. So I keep saying, well, we'll get there. We promote it on Inspired on Air. Shaylee, have you ever been to the SOW Festival? Or is it a case of Skegness? Where's that strange alien planet?
Too far away.
Exactly. But, you know, from that point of view, did you find that there were more tourists attending this year, Sarah? Because clearly, as well as celebrating the wonderful nature of Skegness, or Skeggy, to Lancashire folk, sorry, John Wenham, I'm sure.
Skegvegas.
Exactly. It's anywhere but Skegness, indeed. Did you find you were getting more visitors coming along? I mean, it is something which I suggest, Sarah, you could actually certainly use to fly the flag for the region.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just doing the evaluation at the moment, and it actually attracts visitors from across the whole of the UK and further afield as well. So, you know, we've got people from Wales, Scotland, everywhere that come, and people who kind of time their holidays around the festival now as well. So, you know, it's fantastic in terms of reach.
All right, we've looked back at the Skegness Festival. We've looked back at the Newark Book Festival. Is there going to be another one next year, Sarah, or can you not say us at this moment?
There is going to be
Yay.
Another one. Yes, of course there is. By the end of the weekend, so many people have said, you are coming back next year, aren't you? But I kind of have to find a way. So, so obviously, yes, we have a big fundraising journey ahead of us. But it was such a huge success, as I said. You know, we had so many sold-out events and some fabulous street theatre and engagement with families and all sorts going on that we have to find a way of coming back. We're currently finalising the dates. We are probably looking at the same weekend. And all will be revealed in a few weeks, really. So then we'll start the journey ready for 2018.
And why did you not attend the book festival this year, Lisa Maria, before? Because it's only a matter of days before you're back in Austria, and who knows whether we ever see you again.
That's true. No, I actually wanted to go, but I had a visit from Austria, and she wanted to go to London instead. She said
London
is
as opposed to Newark.
More interesting than Newark.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, unbelievable.
I don't think it was that weekend, actually. We had a half of London with us.
Yeah, maybe we should have stayed. Yeah. I just, you know, Austrians, they don't know until they're here.
You'll clearly actually have to put that in the schedule for next year. And Shaylee, have you attended the New York Book Festival as yet?
I haven't. I was actually working on that day because I think I did receive an email.
Yeah, indeed, yes.
I do apologise, Sarah.
She's just a slave to the wages, Shaylee. Exactly.
Oh, I know that feeling.
She worked through that process.
You will see me next year, though, I'm sure.
Upcoming treats, of course, later on today, we'll hopefully be visiting the York Maze. We already talked about that last night on the programme with Tom Piercy. And we've got the Saltburn International Food Festival this weekend, which is becoming tremendously popular from that point of view. If you fancy a little jaunt north of Lincoln, probably around about 200 miles, no, a little less than that, which is well worth checking out, the Saltburn Food Festival. But as far as you're concerned, Sarah, do you just relax? No, is it just a case of your feet up for the summer, or are there other things that you're likely to be involved with?
Yeah, I am actually taking a 3-day holiday from Saturday, but I haven't stopped yet because it's jumping straight back into lots of other client and project deadlines that I kind of put on one side to kind of get through Newark. So straight back on it, really.
And so it goes. Shaylee, any questions that you'd like to put to Sarah about festival time and how maybe, you know, as a graduate, you'll be able to get involved with, and the Midwick Drivette, of course, who's staying in Lincolnshire, unlike, of course, Lisa Maria, who, as I say, has made her debut. She's come, she saw, she's back. She was a telephone correspondent.
Yeah. How did you get into that? Are you, like, the founder of the book festival?
I am the Newark one in its format. So it used to exist for the past 2 years in a different format, but I set up Lincoln Book Festival many years ago, so that's kind of where my experience with festivals in literature field started. But I've been working in the industry for, oh my goodness me, about 25 years. So,
oh, that's cool. That's exciting, yeah.
A quarter of a century.
I know, scary.
In terms of finding out details about the Newark Book Festival this year, would you say it's best to go to the Facebook site, see some of the things from there, listen to the audio packages that we put together as far as Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting is concerned? You can access those as well. What would you recommend, Sarah?
Yes, definitely get yourself on our Facebook site. That's the first point of call, which is at Newark Book Fest, and that's where we update everything, and we've got photos and everything going on soon as well. So that's the place we'll be making the announcements.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. In case you're wondering, Phil Leonis in Los Angeles is on the road somewhere, which is why he can't actually connect with us. So we'll be speaking to him. Don't worry if you're feeling withdrawal symptoms from lack of Phil Leonis. He will be back on the programme. He's promised us for next Wednesday's summer special, Midweek Drive, which we'll be recording on Friday. I know, sometimes you need a time machine just to coordinate that. But let's see whether Lisa Maria Schwarzenauer can actually put those last two questions to her. See if she's actually still got that focus. Lisa, go, please.
Sarah, have you had a pleasant time talking to the link today, to the Siren?
I have indeed, thank you.
Great, and will you be talking to us again in the future?
No doubt I will.
Great.
She got it out of the end. I was a bit worried she said about the link. I thought it was something on the newspaper, etc.
As you know, as students, we're always confused with student media. We know they are here, and we know it is here, but it's just like mixing them up all the time.
And that's what makes hybridisation such a wonderful polysyllabic word.
Definitely.
Like heaven.
So we've tried to reach the delights of Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar. No response. Berlinus, as we said, is on the road. That's what comes from actually launching a summer special where people get so confused with time. It's very strange. Ben Lewis, I don't know, maybe he's lost somewhere
he's
in
lost
the midst
in Brighton.
Of time. Clearly. That's the
ran
the,
off the pier.
Yeah, never mind. But we will hopefully be speaking to Hannah Brown from Harwich in the very near future. We'll also be definitely featuring Richard Fitzwilliams, Tessa Snart from Glinton, and Ian Lennox will be wrapping up the early morning procedures before we go into a whole range of things with Honey Lancaster James talking about psychology and a matter of other things. That's after the 9 o'clock slot that will, of course, be occurring, strangely enough, at 9 o'clock. What has been your favourite experience of your time in Lincoln, Lisa Marie Schwarzenauer?
Wow, that's a really tough question.
You don't have to answer it right now. I mean, you've got about another hour to actually ruminate on it. If
I
you wish
think
to.
It was kind of the overall thing. So Lincoln is quite a pretty city. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you enter, so the first time and you see the cathedral, it's really stunning. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of discover it over the year. And that's been really nice and pleasant.
Is a year long enough, or do you wish you could come back, or you think you come back and do your PhD or whatever?
I think for Lincoln alone, a year is enough because it's not that big. But there's enough to discover around Lincoln, so I think it's definitely worth to come here again.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah. I like the way she just changed the horse. Because for a moment, you know, Shaley's face just dropping slightly.
Exactly. Say
so
something positive.
Go round the whole thing. Things will work out.
I mean,
there.
I've never been to Austria, but Lincoln's cool.
Great, as we found out in the after-show chat for the Lederhosen. and the thigh slapping, which is very good. And I think
well, we've got beer cover for that now. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't made it there yet, so I don't know if they do it the original way, so I highly doubt it. So
I don't think it's authentic at all.
I don't think so either.
These are the crucial messages as the time approaches 21 minutes to 8 o'clock on Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station.
I love you.
Charlene Spiteri, lead singer of Texas, and they were providing for everything. John Wenham has sent in a message which is of vital importance to be added to the events diary. And normally Joe actually does the events diary in this particular hour. Sorry, Joe, it's okay. You'll be back in all manner of wonderful ways. At Lincoln Castle on Sunday, the 30th of July, there is a vintage vehicle rally, the year's main event for the Lincolnshire Vintage Vehicle Society. And it's where the society displays its vintage and classic cars, motorcycles and small commercial vehicles. Up to 200 vehicles will be attending this prestigious event from around the country, and it's a mainly static display in the castle grounds. Normal castle charge entries applied. So in terms of the cost, it's whatever. And if you want to have any inquiries, go to 01522 782 040. When we actually dusted off our promos and such like and said, okay, let's freshen it up because it is the summer, we thought, let's keep this one.
Hannah Brown, historic Harwich heroine and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
And, of course, Lisa Maria Schwarzenegger is saying, where's Harwich?
Where is that?
What is Harwich?
What is
exactly.
Question ever.
Hannah, this is it, and you are the best person to actually... I actually came up with the line, Harwich is to Essex what Skegness is to Lincolnshire. I don't know whether you'd like to agree or disagree with that, because you may never have actually been to Skegness, even though you're heading into your third year as a journalism undergraduate at the University of Lincoln. But, you know, and you might not even be in Essex, let's be honest. I could be completely wrong on that sort of basis. I mean, a matter of moments ago, I couldn't even remember what the official party... Well, the girls have a corsage and the boys... That's a big thing in the States, effectively.
Prom.
Thank you. Prom night. Exactly.
Okay.
We never used to have prom nights until something emerged after the back
it's
of our...
It's a big thing now. A lot of girls go all out with their dresses and everything.
Very true. And probably boys as well, let's face it. Yeah. But it's American cultural...
That's the same with Halloween, though, because we never did Halloween until Cromwell brought it over.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, he banned Christmas, so let's face it.
You've got
to have something to
offset
something. How are you, Hannah Brown, in Harwich?
I'm very good, thank you.
That's all right.
How are you?
Well, we're okay. I mean, I do. Now, again, next question for Hannah. I mean, we haven't really. She hasn't answered the first question. Let's face it. You know, people say, next question. She has it. How would you define Harwich? As somebody who resides there, who takes a little bicycle, she cycles from one side of Harwich to the other, and she cycles back again, and she sort of gets out more Harry Potter stuff, and then she
does.
Like
Cambridge. That sounds lovely.
Is it
Cambridge?
Harwich like Cambridge.
I wouldn't make that comparison.
No,
it's a little town that's not got a lot in it. The only thing that people normally know Harwich for is the port. You might have heard of Felixstowe. It's just over the river from us, so geographically that might help because Felixstowe's got a bigger port, so more people know about it. But
oh, I was thinking the drink port. I was like, oh, it's famous for its port, yeah. Like sherry.
No, we get some ships
smuggling,
coming.
Smuggling, perhaps.
Well, we did actually have a thing some few years ago. A lot of people were found inside a container in the port. That was the most interesting thing to happen in Harwich since the Mayflower set sail.
Interesting.
The lengths people would go just to see Hannah's hometown. Yeah. It's amazing.
I'm world famous now, thanks to you, Alex.
The other critical question is, Hannah actually launched a new chart when she was a regular Midweek driver, and indeed on the Morning Edition, bless her heart, she's come up here. She's not used to this sort of routine, because basically at this stage, when Hannah was actually turning, she would have just been approaching the studio because it was an 8 o'clock start. As you well actually, Shaylee, no, you've started since we actually moved it earlier.
Yeah.
You know, since we actually started this summer season of fun, live frivolities, you've known nothing else other than a sort of 7:30, 7:20 start, getting stuck behind a man who wants to actually sort of get through a lorry thing and all sorts of others. But Hannah was a regular sort of 8 o'clock onwards, until shorthand called or other such matters. And she kept a chart of smiley faces or sad faces, depending on what Richard Fitzwilliams would actually give a rating for his movies, etc. The question is, and I know Richard was keen for me to put this to Hannah, have you continued via podcasts, via listening, have you continued with the chart for Richard Fitzwilliams, or has it been a case of, look, I'm on holiday now, I just don't want to think about Lincoln, I've got far too many things to do with Harry Potter and Harwich, are you insane? Hannah, what's the response?
I might have a little catching up to do with the chart.
Slacking, Alex. Sucker.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, fortunately you can access the details, you can find them on podcasts and you'll find those things too. Otherwise, who knows what could happen in the whole world. Still, never mind. So, we've already acknowledged the fact that on this York Maze Day, Lisa Maria Schwarzenauer will not be attending, even as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, I'm very sad about that.
You will not be able to attend the York Maze. Shaylee probably didn't even know we were actually going off on our routine, so are you free this today? Are you coming to the York Maze, or are you working?
I got work.
Exactly.
12 till 4, which is a really annoying shift.
Hannah's not going to go up from Harwich, but I mean, Hannah...
I think I have been to the York Maze before, though.
Have you?
Yeah.
But not the Star Wars-themed York Maze.
You are joking.
Totally Star Wars-themed.
Yeah, shall I call a sickie?
Well, it's...
Well, I'm not coming today. Star Wars is way more important.
I think we'll have to sort of arrange another visit. Otherwise, Tom Piercy will be sort of quite sad as the Maze Meister. You've got a maze which is in the shape of the Death Star and Han Solo that you work your way through. It is your
How long is this lasting? Is this just today?
Well, we'd set up an initial sort of visit today. We can, for you, Shaylee, probably set up another visit, I don't know, probably next week, really.
Oh, my God, yes, please.
Yeah. Well, we might sort of coordinate that. In fact, the weather might be better next week. We might just... I shall talk with Tom.
I will be dressed head to toe in style.
Because I need to present Tom. I need to have Midweek Drive out to actually present Tom with the official calendar, which most people would say, just post it. No.
Why?
It might be good to actually use the postal service for certain things, but not the Midweek Drive calendar. Hannah received hers personally. Where is your Midweek Drive calendar, by the way, Hannah?
Hanging up proudly in my uni room.
In your uni room?
Yes.
Yeah.
She isn't in anymore.
Thank you, Shaylee. That's where...
I needed a calendar.
Sorry, Hannah.
It's somewhere around the lab. Yeah, unless it's rather like one of those end space rooms that the Doctor has in his TARDIS, where Hannah's uni room is her mode of transport.
Opens
it's
one
a bit
door.
Like the magic wardrobe in Narnia, where she actually has these connections of where does the room actually sort of work through. That could well be the case. Anyway.
Well, I am magic, so you never know.
Yeah, exactly. You have obviously co-presented with Shay the on the Wednesday scenario, but Hannah, would you like to ask the team how they've been feeling the midweek driver has been functioning in, of course, the absence of your good self, Hannah, the absence of Tessa Snart, who will be joining us shortly after the news at 8 o'clock, and other sort of folk who are regular midweek drivers, Natasha Armstrong, etc. Hannah, it's your chance to find out, catch up what's been happening, because, as we said, she wouldn't have been listening to the show. You know, I would have liked to think she'd be tuned in. It's not going to happen. You know, in the podcasts, she's got other things to do. Hannah, over to you.
Okay. Well, what's the most interesting thing that has happened on the show since...
ever.
Ever.
In the time of history.
Look, we've just had the Vice-Chancellor of the University, Professor Mary Stewart, pass us by on her way up to the third floor of this particular building. You know, you
say, I could not point her out in a room of strangers.
I'm sure.
Who is she?
Next week, I'll make sure I'll
just be like, this is her.
And of course, you need to know who she is when you graduate, which is a matter of months away now. You know.
Is she the person that hand I shake? Because the handshaking thing is like keeping me up at night. I'm worried that I'm going to shake the wrong person's hand.
Don't
worry. Shake everybody's hand.
Through everybody. Yeah. Other people are like, oh no, I'm like worried I'm going to trip. I'm like, I don't care about tripping. I care about shaking the wrong person's hand.
Grace under pressure. That's the important thing.
Exactly.
It'll all work well. Don't worry, Hannah. You'll have this to do next year. Anyway, I'm not sure if you heard it. So, I mean, Lisa, actually, you've just got two shows, one and a half shows.
So I can't really compare it to when you were here, unfortunately.
Okay. It's a lot quieter, I do have to admit.
But Hannah was always a bit of a loud. I mean, honestly, the seminars with her, you know, she's bawling out of that sort of scenario there. It's amazing. It's like,
we call that outgoing now.
Well, I was just consistently sort of thinking it's like some sort of raver that's sort of in there.
Is
it medication? But still, never mind.
Exaggeration there, maybe.
Do you think so? I don't know. Anybody whose brother is on the international Quidditch team has got to actually be outgoing, ready to compete. That leaves you, Shaylee. How have you found the quieter, you said, basically. That's not a really memorable thing. It's quieter.
Just quieter, yeah. No. Still going, still trucking on.
Yeah. Have you got any questions you'd like us to put, Hannah, on your behalf to Richard Fitzwilliams when he joins us later on to talk about City of Ghosts and Julius Caesar?
Oh.
No.
Maybe just ask him what's his favourite film of the summer so far.
That's a good question.
I think
it'll
be Dunkirk.
Yeah, with a lot of
Dunkirk, definitely.
Dunkirk.
Oh, I need to see that. Yeah. He was raving about it last week.
It was Wonder Woman, but it's now switched to Dunkirk.
Wonder Woman is good, though.
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming, I thought, was surprisingly impressive overall.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was
okay. That is surprising.
It was good.
Yeah.
I feel like the Spider-Man thing is a bit done now.
No. He's only been going 50-odd years. You know, he's got a long way to go yet. Lots of stories to unveil and unweb besides them.
It was Tobey Maguire that just...
pooh-poohed
it for me.
But that was before we had Andrew Garfield. And now, of course, we've got Tom Holland. So it's all...
He's a better Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very funny and almost makes the superhero seem more realistic.
Oh, that's
cool. And real. He's a nerd who has superpowers, and it's quite good.
It comes through, yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And it works on the premise.
Oh, I might have to go see it now.
And if one was to actually construct a location report in and around the area of Harwich, where would you take us, Hannah?
Maybe go to the nearest good town, Colchester. You could go to Colchester Castle Park and see the castle. That'd be interesting and fun.
Lots of that. Any plans for yourself? Are you sort of enjoying summer in Harwich, or is it a case of no? I'm off to the Marbella place and Canary Islands and other zones in a matter of weeks.
Don't go to cars.
My main interesting plan for what's coming up is in a few weeks I'll be going to watch my brother in the Quidditch Premier League final, which is very exciting. I now have my official shirt with his name on it for the Quidditch Premier League.
Marvellous.
So I can wear it.
And is the shirt officially Hannah's brother is playing Quidditch? Is that right?
Yeah, it's got his number that he plays under four and brown on the back.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well,
I'll bring it in and show you, Alex.
I think so. That's what we will look forward to. Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Hannah Brown?
I have, thank you.
What's the next question we ask at this particular stage, Shaylee?
Will you be coming back?
Very good, yeah.
I hope so.
Yay!
Exactly, she will be coming back. Coming up in a matter of moments, we will be having the joys of the news from the Sky News Centre. That's going to be taken up to via the Pretty Reckless and House on a Hill. In Lincoln, we actually have Shaylee McKenzie with the weather for Lincoln.
So today we've got highs of 18 degrees Celsius with lows of 13 degrees Celsius, some sunny spells and scattered showers.
In a multiverse awash with galactic wonders, the role of the midweek drivettes is simple. As Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, Katie Dorr, Jessica Ward, Fiona Williams, Eva McDonald and Emily Jones continue broadcasting across the cosmos on 107.3 Siren FM.
I know Shaylee hasn't mentioned that yet, and indeed the others. Well, Eva McDonald's gone to answer phone, Tessa Snart's gone to answer phone. It's a strange and bizarre world that we're having. It's summer. with his own musical take on the weather forecast, or maybe not, George Harrison and Blow Away. It's Siren. It's 7 minutes past 8 o'clock in 3 seconds from now. In fact, now it's 7 minutes past 8 o'clock, which is early in the morning, but not for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition team, because we've been planning this since about 3 a.m. this morning to get the structure right, to get the balance right, to get these scenario of where we're going to go when you Los Angeles can't connect with us because they're on the road and they're travelling, and to relate to Hannah Brown, how she's been monitoring Richard Fitzwilliam's positive movie views and so on. Your question, of course, in fact, it was Hannah's question for Richard, which I kind of answered. He might deny everything, though, when Hannah's question was, what's his favourite
book? We need to get, like, a pool going.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've already made my statement quite clear.
We all make the same bet.
I've made my statement clear. So, I mean, what would you say Richard's favourite film would have actually been?
I mean, I've only heard last week's ravings.
So you'd probably say...
I'd say Dunkirk.
You'd say that as well.
Yeah.
And Shaley?
Dunkirk, for sure.
Yeah, so...
Beyond at the moment, yes. Of all time, it brings us into different areas.
It's into Lawrence of Arabia, that particular aspect.
Yeah. Nice.
It's a different setup there. Lisa Maria Schwarzenegger, do you want to talk to Richard about the royal family so far? Or shall we? or would you like to go to City of Ghosts? I mean, would you like. Because there's so much to pack into the Richard Fitzwilliams feature today. We can either start with film reviews, or. I mean, we could even throw in the question about the nation's favourite British artwork being revealed yesterday, as we did earlier with Miranda Sawyer, and Banksy's Balloon Girl being number one. But where do you wish to guide Richard? To this next piece? Is it going to be film? Is it going to be royalty? Or both?
I'd say do both, but maybe start with film.
Start with film, Richard.
In which case, we go into a documentary that I have to recommend, but one that makes very, very grim viewing. It's about an organisation which is conducting a very courageous fight against the barbaric medieval organisation, an enemy of us all, ISIS, and its occupation of Raqqa. I would point out this began in March 2014, and this is directed by Matthew Heineman, and it portrays the Syrian media activists group. Raqqa is being slaughtered silently, and we get a picture initially of Raqqa in the days of what I would call relative normality. Then there were demonstrations against the Assad regime. Those were brutally suppressed. And then ISIS arrived, and with them, and we see images of this, barbaric public executions, actual bodies lying in the streets with having been decapitated and their heads stuck on spikes. It's grim viewing, very, very grim viewing. And the way they have captured part of the rule of terror, and also indicating that if you were unfortunate enough to live there, food is scarce, the problems with electricity, I mean, the privations of occupation are awful. And what is absolutely remarkable in this movie, directed by Matthew Heineman, it shows the courage of the opponents of ISIS and the fact they had to flee after, of course, ISIS attempted to catch them and in some cases were successful. And they are often based firstly in Turkey, then they found a home in Germany. One of their members was caught with compromising material and publicly executed. And another, Hamoud, actually sees a video of his father being assassinated, has heard one of his brothers has been executed, and another has vanished. You really are dealing with a dreadful situation. It's absolutely barbaric. And you also see the suffering of the population, for example, if there's an Assad regime airstrike. And in Germany, they're victimized by the far right, who want no immigrants. And no journalists are allowed in Raqqa. We see some of the ISIS propaganda videos, which are trying to persuade you that all is going well there. And this is a documentary like no other. We meet four individuals who are the courageous front of this organization: Aziz, who's their spokesman, Hamoud, who, as I mentioned, saw this ghastly video of his father being killed, Hussein, and Mohammed. And this is a documentary, as really does lift the lid off what a terrorist organization will do if it takes over, and it still, alas, is in situ. And, of course, the indication is that to remove it will be very, very costly in terms of lives. I mean, this is it's a remarkable documentary.
Testifies to the power of journalism in one of the straplines. That's the Lisa Maria, from your own perspective as a journalism postgraduate student, thoughts on this one?
It definitely testifies to the power of journalism and also the importance of it, because I think there's been, especially about ISIS and all these things, there have been so many different opinions. People are trying to pit each other against others, and there's the right wing, as you mentioned, in Germany and wherever. So I think it's really important to have people go there and show how the scene really is there, and to make people see and empathise with what these people are going through. So there might be a change for the better.
It's very, very dangerous, because the most of them have been forced to flee, but there are some still in Raqqa who send reports. And if from Germany, they can get out the wider picture to the world. But if one of their members was assassinated in Turkey, of course, so they live in, you know, perpetual trauma, fear of their lives.
Shaley.
It just astounds me how people in general, like murderers and stuff, can have such little regard for human life. And it's always upsetting when a light is shone on the truth, even though it should be shone. But it's still really, really, like, traumatising almost. It looks really good, though. Like, really, really good.
Oh. And again, has that... I'm always tempted to say it doesn't look like a documentary. I know that's a bit of a cliche in terms of how we know documentary film to be developed, but interesting in a whole range of things. OK, tough start, Richard. Where do you wish to take us from that? Possibly to the Ides of March?
Yes, indeed. A very tough start. And this is actually the culmination of a five-year all-female Shakespeare trilogy. And I wanted to bring it up because it was a very, very unusual film. This is, in fact, a filmed play. It was filmed over two nights, shot live, and they used handheld material. It is Julius Caesar, and it is part of this trilogy, an all-female trilogy, which has been put on at the Donmar, and it is Julius Caesar, an adaptation of a famous play by Shakespeare, which I have to say interested me as a child originally in the Bard, and I've always loved it. And it's set in a woman's prison. It's on the stage at the Donmar, and it's full of the most audacious ideas. Harriet Walter is Brutus, of course, who's the Roman of noble lineage, who rises up, or is persuaded, should I say, to rise up against the tyrannical Caesar, but who lacks the pragmatism of his co-conspirator Caius Cassius, who, for example, would not have let Brutus address the crowd in the famous oration, Antony address the crowd in the famous oration, and who would have not fought at Philippi, where the conspirators were defeated by Mark Antony and Octavius Caesar, who was Caesar's heir. It's extraordinary because there's so many ideas in this, and it's directed by Phyllida Lloyd. You'll remember Phyllida Lloyd from Mamma Mia and also from The Iron Lady. So no question, this is a class act. It is stimulating. It doesn't all work, but the ideas in it, it certainly has no shortage of them. And it's very, very interesting to see something like this, how it's done, the fact it's now on film, the fact that this is a part of Henry IV and the Tempest, and obviously I would have thought conclude it by filming them. I was very, very interested. Harriet Walter's superb as Brutus, and it was very interesting indeed to go to a screening of this and also meet the cast, or some of the cast. It's the way Shakespeare should be handled, because you get perpetual experiment, something new so often, and obviously, as I say, set in a woman's prison, set in modern dress, very, very extraordinary viewing, really. I mean, a scene, for example, like Caesar's assassination. Caesar will be sitting in the audience, and then someone will briefly drug her and then stab her. It's It's a take on the themes in this play of power, loyalty, and the tragic idealism of Brutus, which, of course, as we know, ends in disaster. But it is also about the rise of fascism when Caesar takes powers that aren't in the Constitution, of course, threatening the Republic. And we know, ironically, of course, that under Octavian, he became Caesar. So the assassins ultimately failed. But it is fascinating. It is very unusual. And Dame Harriet Walter, in fact, a remarkable actress, in a cast that, although of some mixed measures, it doesn't all come off, for example, when the ghost of Caesar appears before Brutus, before the Battle of Philippi, and this, she actually comes onto the stage and the two women, as in a dream, dance together. That didn't work, but most of it does work, and it is a fascinating experience. This is what we need with Shakespeare, always to experiment.
A striking cinematic experience, according to the stage. In the Evening Standard, Lloyd's account of Julius Caesar seethes with menace. Obviously selected for the Edinburgh International Film Festival this year and a nominee for the Michael Powell Prize.
A lot of menace, by the way, and in the crowd scenes particularly. I mean, the way they chant, and it's there's plenty of action in this. It really does grab you.
Well, Jackie Clune plays Caesar, and J.J.
Very
Luca.
Well, I have to say, yes, exceptionally fine performance as Caesar. You can see the charisma, and also a very interesting Mark Antony, very, very good, this very intriguing, certainly something that once you've seen it, you will not forget it.
So our fault.
Ada Nuko's Antony.
Our fault doesn't lie in ourselves, but in our stars. Or is it the reverse of that? It's always very confusing. No. Julius Caesar, from the Austrian perspective, Lisa, is it something you studied at school? Was it a case of that Shakespeare, some sort of bloke who wrote plays in Britain?
No, we didn't at school, because even though we did do a bit of literature in English lessons, most people deemed it a bit too hard for people just learning the language. Okay. And even later on at university, so I did English and American studies with a focus on literature. Mm. People kind of supposed that everybody knows Shakespeare anyway, so the only play that we actually studied was Othello. Apart from that, it was just, if you like it, read it yourself. And, yeah.
So is this something which you would be drawn to see, the Julius Caesar adaptation?
Definitely, definitely. I'm very much into theatre, and I think Shakespeare's got he got the thing right, that things are timeless, so you can refresh things. And like you see with that adaptation, it looks very contemporary, but still it's the same themes that kind of troubled people 400 years ago. So it looks quite fascinating, and I might check it out.
Oh, there are a lot of contemporary links. Believe me, I could mention certain leaders. I won't, who may well remember.
Shaley.
So I go and see a Royal Shakespeare Company play every Christmas. And last year, I went to go see The Tempest. And what they did was they were working with, I think, Intel. And, like, they did like a projection, and it was just, it blew my mind how they combined sort of like modern technology, but still with an old Shakespeare play. And there's constantly new experiments going on with Shakespeare. And I think that's really cool. As an English graduate, Shakespeare is obviously at the foundation of my sort of learning. So to see him being done again and again and again throughout time is really, really cool.
A thumbs up, then, I take it.
Definitely, 100%.
Oh, it is. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Let's move on. We're going to take a short musical break, and then we'll be back with the views of Richard Fitzwilliams on Harry, on Diana, 20 years, a whole heap of other scenarios as well. I wonder if he'll be able to identify which movie this comes from, though. Shaley, you seem to have said you know this. Any ideas?
I'm under so much pressure, but I think it's the theme tune for Wonder Woman.
Oh. Lisa?
I have no idea. It sounds familiar, but I couldn't make a guess.
All I can see is Gal Gadot in my head.
Yeah, well, I can certainly see the connection from that perspective. You're wrong. But,
No!
Richard?
I'm sorry, but blank here.
No. It's very similar.
Written by the same composer who actually did Batman versus Superman, which you heard there, written by Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
And it's Supermarine from Dunkirk. You see, he claimed it was a favourite movie. He didn't even recognise an excerpt from the movie soundtrack.
I must protest because one of the reasons that it was a movie that I was so immersed in it, and the music is one part of a whole, and when you're immersed, you don't suddenly take one of those parts and separate them from the experience.
It's like peeling the layers of an onion away, still. Never
mind. I didn't recognize it at all, but I would again say Dunkirk is, I've said it a second time,
as good as Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
93% on Rotten Tomatoes. And
would you eat Rotten Tomatoes is all I can say with respect to that. I'll hopefully check out Dunkirk before too long there.
Oh,
anyway.
No, must.
All right, you have convinced me. No, it's the Saltburn International Food Festival. I'm committed to that. We'll go where things go from that point of view. Tessa Snott has said she is still awaiting our call. Well, that's because her phone's been going to mobile, but we'll try again. We'll try and reach you, Tessa, in a few moments' time. Hopefully we will connect. It's probably Glinton. Meanwhile, Richard and the Royals, what would you like to share with us, given that we're right in the heart of 20 years since, the anniversary of Princess Diana's sad demise? Anything else you'd like to sort of comment on, Richard?
Yes, well, two things. Firstly, Diana, Our Mother, which aired on Monday, and secondly, the exhibition of royal gifts at Buckingham Palace, which I enjoyed enormously, a whole series of the good and the bizarre. Diana, Our Mother, was tremendously touching, and I mean, it did, for a new generation, at least this was the idea, making her memory return to those of us who remember what she achieved. I mean, for example, these tremendously emotional interviews that Princes William and Harry have been giving. This began in April with Harry, who mentioned he needed counselling to deal with during the 20 years. So often he'd basically had to suppress his emotions. And, of course, we had William talking about the effect it had had on him, and then subsequently Harry gave quite a controversial interview to Newsweek in June, talking about kingship and also more difficulties. The idea has been to open out. It's part of their charitable work, which Diana would undoubtedly have approved of, to help those suffering from mental illness and depression, illnesses that can't so easily, so to speak, be seen, part of the heads together with the Duchess of Cambridge. But there's no doubt that it was a very, very sensitive documentary, and for them to talk, for example, about the last telephone call, conversation they'd had with her, and also to emphasize, and this was the theme throughout, with some lovely photographs that I hadn't seen before because they were in her photo album, and no question you had the emphasis on what she'd achieved in the banning international treaty, alas, came after she died, of landmines, and the way she reached out to HIV/AIDS sufferers and the homeless and the bereaved. It really was remarkable, someone personally so unhappy who'd come from a broken home and had this empathy with so many, and of course the outpouring of grief when she died so tragically, it was completely unprecedented. Little doubt, of course, that certain issues in it were airbrushed or only fleetingly touched on. But those many of us know, and those of us who don't, there's a Channel 4 documentary which I fear would include voice videos, which Diana's voice coach apparently has let Channel 4 have, and those will be dealing with the less happy side of Diana's life. I mean, she was a deeply complex person, but it was wonderful to see. William and Harry obviously adore her. She was a wonderful mother, and this was a tribute, and I loved it.
Any thoughts on Diana, Princess of Wales, Lisa?
Well, you probably want to get the Austrian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
you would have been, what, one, two, when she died?
No, I was born 1993.
Oh, so four.
I was four. Mm-hmm. And I actually remember my grandma saying, yeah, Princess Diana died. Mm-hmm. It's like, I had no idea who that person was, but it's like, even in Austria, people were in shock because everybody kind of knew her, liked her for the charity work that she did, and she was a royal. So Austrians are a bit obsessed with royals, maybe because
of
her
great
past.
Great castles, of course.
Yeah, so that was really a big thing even outside of Great Britain. Mm-hmm. So I still remember that, and people are still very interested in the whole royal family thing, and especially Diana, because, well, the people that die young always stay, like, very interesting
James
to people.
Dean, Marilyn Monroe,
yeah,
Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Shaylee.
Unfortunately, it didn't reach South Africa. I don't think my family were too fussed until we came to England. And obviously, I think she just died a couple of months before we came. So it was still quite a big thing in the media. But other than that, we had no idea who Princess Diana was.
See, there we are. The land of your birth, Richard Fitzwilliams, and no idea who Princess Diana was in the...
Or maybe it was just my family. They were oblivious.
Practically nobody in the last century. Perhaps the Prince of Wales, though this, of course, was in an era which was less... international celebrity wasn't quite as widespread as it is now when, for obvious reasons, a press a button online and things go out. I suppose the Prince of Wales, later Edward VIII and the Duke of Windsor, would have been a disastrous king, but there's no question he had an enormous...
Yes, but at least if he had become king, you would have had a knighthood for Adolf. You know, so that's...
I was going to say, didn't he have ties with Adolf Hitler, and they were like bosom buddies?
Arise, Sir Adolf. You know,
very, very, very unwisely, together with Mrs. Simpson, or the Duchess of Windsor, she became after they married. Shortly after they married, they did indeed visit Adolf Hitler in Duchess Garden, and there is no question that he, though this is highly disputed, but shall we say broadly, he had
fascist sympathies,
if only for the fury that he felt when his wife was not given...
Clearly, he was upset, you know, it's all don't blame the woman, it's not her fault, it's just...
It was a great... It is a very complex matter. But what would you give the Queen if you, for example, were on a state visit here, or, for example, the Queen visited you?
Well, I would obviously give her my undying love and affection, and there would be no greater honour than that as a standard routine. And the ultimate, which would be a midweek drive calendar. I think that would be probably the ideal line. Which
in
her royal office, which would be very...
25 years of Royal Collection exhibitions, which have been truly remarkable at Buckingham Palace, and this is a royal gift. They last had this in 2002, and it's always a challenge, and you get some beautiful things and you get some absolutely ghastly ones side by side. And it is interesting because heads of state do have a difficulty here. I mean, obviously the equine's a good idea. You've got Obama's equine accessory.
Having a stuffed horse's head as a gift, it's a mafia thing.
What do you give the girl who has it all? She's got a country. What more can she want?
The point is, this is courtesy ever since time immemorial. The exchange of gifts has been one of those things you've got to do. So what about your choice? I mean, if Obama's equine accessories are one thing, President Kennedy's signed portrait of himself another, which is...
Exactly. What a Kennedy thing to do.
Richard, time is beating us. If you wish to see Shaylee and Lisa Maria Schwarzenegger, I've just actually posted a photograph of them in action in today's very midweek drive morning edition, which is actually up there, because actually Lisa will be leaving us to go back to Austria. She'll connect via telephones, but she may never return to Lincoln, so it's auf Wiedersehen. I'll say that.
Indeed, and I could just mention that the opening of Buckingham Palace, 22nd July to 1st October, one thing it didn't include was, because you don't normally know what the Queen thinks of a gift, just like you don't normally know what the Queen thinks of a portrait of her, but in Germany, in a 2015 state visit, they'd unwisely chosen an artist who painted, it's a terrible painting of the Queen as a girl with her father, and there was a horse, the horse was blue, and so the Queen said, it's a funny colour for a horse. And it turned out, she went to the man was your father, she was told, don't you recognise him, said the German president. No, said the Queen. So, it's not... It
isn't nine, she should choose nine.
There's a famous occasion in 1947 that Queen Mary saw a piece of cloth, Gandhi, especially woven for the wedding of Princess Elizabeth to Prince Philip, and, he was convinced it was a loincloth.
Yeah, Tarzan. It was Tarzan, not Gandhi. Gandhi, not Tarzan. Last two questions, please, Shaley.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Richard?
Yes, I've enjoyed it enormously.
Excellent. And will you be back next week? Next Thursday morning? Perfect.
Tessa Snart has already liked the photo.
She's eager beaver. She feels bad for not answering.
The clouds are flying. Mariah makes the mountains sound like folks were up there dying. They caught her wail and whining. I had a girl and she had me, and the sun was always shining. But then one day I left my girl, I left her far behind me, and now I'm lost, so golden lost, not even God can find me. Here they got a name for rain, for wind and fire only. But when you're lost and all alone, there ain't no word but lonely. And I'm a lost and lonely man, without a star to guide me. Mariah, blow my love to me. I need my girl beside me.
Clinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
Yay! How is Clinton this morning?
Well, it's okay, but I think connection just might be really bad here.
Well, it was only, I may have misdialed Tessa. It has been known occasionally. I might have actually substituted an 8 where it was actually a 0 when I double checked a few other bits and pieces. So
it's easily done. It's fine.
Yeah, but you know when you. So Tessa, what have you made of the programme so far? Clearly, Lisa Maria Schwarzenegger's last one for a time. You've never even had a chance of meeting her face to face. You know, so.
Just two
shows and whoosh, she's gone like some sort of Austrian breeze. That's all just whoosh. Clearly, you know, Shaylee, you heard the early start. We finally managed to track down Hannah to find out what she's been up to. Looking forward to, obviously, her wearing her brother's Quidditch shirt and so on. What have you made of the production so far?
Oh, I think it's been brilliant. You've discussed a range of topics. It was nice to hear Hannah, actually, because I haven't had a chance to catch up with her since there was a falling out.
Two journalism students. So it was.
Oh yeah.
It's like you're either in Hannah's camp, you're one of Hannah's hoodies, or Tessa's tuffies. You know, that's the key thing. That's the line.
Choice you got to make.
It's like
West Side Story.
Yeah. Listen, the Sharks and the Jets, mild by comparison. You know, in this particular case, the whole of Lincoln. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, you know, there were senior citizens, chronologically gifted people who would run in terror through the streets on whether you knew Tessa's toughies or...
She is quite intimidating, Tessa. I do have to admit.
I hope not.
Maybe I'm quite glad I never met you in person.
It's the strap line to Sound and Country Vision. You will listen. You will listen. Apart from that, yes. So that, catching up with Hannah and any other sort of aspects.
Yeah, and listening to Richard Fitzwilliam as well, I really want to see Dunkirk. It sounds like a really, really good film. And I did actually watch the Diana documentary on ITV the other night with William and Harry, and I thought that was wonderful. I'm quite, a new Royals fan, and I think Princess Diana, I think William and Harry are who they are because of her, in a way, sort of this new generation of the royals. And I think it was lovely what they did to speak out about her. So,
Excellent. You probably have never, even in your capacity as Sound and Country Vision presenter extraordinaire, ever encountered the Ozark Mountain Daredevils in your time, have you, Tessa?
No, I don't think I have.
Well, we will be featuring on next week's Midweek Drive one of the key folk from the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, Rural Chapel, who I think would actually be ideal for Sound and Country Vision. But you know, what am I to actually make a point? I would say have a listen to this. It could be a whole range of things from that, but it'd be very much a country theme. I shall say no more. It's interesting enough, I talked about the Ozark Mountain Daredevils to a couple of people, and they either say, wow, are they still going? And say, yes, they do. And they produced a whole range of things from that point of view. They were named after John Dillon, who came up with the name at a Kansas City naming party after the band was told that the name they had previously been using, Family Tree, was already taken, and have been producing all manner of wonderful things, most widely known for their hit singles If You Want to Get to Heaven in 1974 and Jackie Blue in 1975. But just a little heads up.
Have a listen.
So, Lisa, why should we head off to Austria then to check out that if we're putting, you know, when we do more international location reports? I mean, Tessa's consistently saying it's time we went to Hawaii. You know, it's something that looks like
Hawaii would be nice. Honestly, I'd probably say go to Hawaii rather than Austria because there's the beaches and surfing. So, no, Austria's nice. Austria's nice for culture, for hiking, for skiing, whatever. Nice food. Mm. So, nice beer if you like that. So,
I'd love to visit Austria.
Yeah, I've heard
it's beautiful. What sort of events or festivals go on over there that, say, if we did pop over, we could do an on-location report at? What would be the best one to attend?
The one that I know that's going on in August, it's called Frequency Festival. It's kind of the biggest pop alternative rock music festival. And this year they've got Mumford & Sons as headliners. And it's quite big and quite famous there. And also in Vienna, I mean, there's always things going on. They've always got theatre festivals, film festivals, things like that. So definitely always worth checking out.
And lots of people named Wolfgang pretend to actually be classical composers.
Yes, got a lot of classical music as well.
Arranged. Even the James Bond aspect has been filmed in Vienna as well.
So. In Vienna and also in Tirol, so in the place that I come from. So we're very proud of that. Oh, we're part of James Bond movie, yeah.
Oh, well, so my mum would be a fan.
All we can say in Lincoln is that Katie Dorr, who's going to be passing the studio in a matter of moments, actually. She's just from midweek drive out. There she goes. Let's wave at Katie.
I'm waving.
Mentally waving.
Katie now occupies the office that Gwyneth Paltrow actually used when they actually shot a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow at Lincoln. It was called Obsession a few years ago.
Does she even still do films?
I think she's only blogging.
She's Pepper Potts, you know. She's clearly she's in it's astounding sort of wonderful stuff from that point of view. Tessa, we've decided that we'll be sort of rechanging our visits to the York Maze for the Star Wars experience to next week, which is going to confuse people no end, including Tom Pearson. Yeah. But still, you've yet to actually make it to the York Maze, have you?
I haven't been yet. I need to.
I think exactly.
On the list.
We'll get that whole thing together. Funnily enough, he says, Tessa will be back in Lincoln next Wednesday, moving into her new location.
That's just when I'm leaving. Bad timing.
It's the Tuesday.
Now.
Well, she stays around. She can join us on the trip to the York Maze. So,
awesome opportunity. Okay. I would love to, but I'll be too busy with all my boxes moving into the new house in Lincoln for the last year.
It's quite early, Tessa.
Yeah, but she wants to get home for Hannah. You know, this is the whole thing. She's going to be marking the whole thing through.
The boundaries.
Hannah, bless her. I mean, when she comes up again, she'll have to go through so many customs. Yeah. She'll be lost. You know, Tessa.
That's a clever move.
My sister's moving in the day before, so we kind of
Two snots
in Lincoln.
Lois.
Yeah. Oh my God! Watch out, Lincoln.
And Tessa.
Lock up your boys.
Yes. I'm more thinking about the craze, really. In many ways. Only kidding, because that's far too cruel on the craze. Last two questions for Tessa Snart, please. Lisa.
Have you enjoyed your link to the studio today?
I have. It's been eventful as always.
And will you be coming back?
I hope so.
Great.
You'll have me.
And speaking of Bond movies that were filmed in Austria and Vienna, I think it's time we actually dug out the old Daniel Craig motif, because as yet, he may still be James Bond for a fifth time, we hear.
Wow. Overdue, I owe them.
Of course, for the Bond completists, you'll be well aware it was indeed Quantum of Solace that actually featured in Ostra, which Richard Fitzwilliams doesn't like at all. I think it's a very underrated Bond movie. Quantum of Solace was the second Daniel Craig scenario, preceding, of course, Skyfall. But still actually setting the scene for Spectre and a whole variety of other factors. It is a year since Ian Lennox actually said it was on his third draft and about to go through 60,000 words. Yes, it should be finished in time for Christmas, your latest epic offering, which I've been privileged enough to actually read the first five chapters and provide you maybe with one or two comments which you may find of some use. Or
yes,
complete.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And there was an interesting thing in terms of the editing process, Ian, that you suggested that in terms of your editing, you've been cutting back and cutting back with the possible likelihood that if you continue cutting back, you'll be left with zero words before too.
A full stop.
So would you like to share with Lisa Maria and Shaley why this has been the case? What have you been actually sort of cutting back in terms of this?
Well, what happens when you can't really say it happens the same every time you write a book, but in this particular case, I wrote the first draft, and there was obviously things wrong with it, so I started to write the second one before I finished the first draft. And I got to about 40,000 words, I think. And by this time, I was starting to feel the whole thing. I felt the characters rather than I was feeling for them. And so anyway, I decided I'd gone far enough. I knew how the plot was going to develop, roughly. And so I started again. But what happens when you go back into a book like that, there are minor changes that you might have to make early in the book, which is a bit like throwing a rock into a pool as the ripples go right through. Yeah, yeah. And so it affects characters later down the plot. Yeah. And so you get maybe 40 pages further on and suddenly things don't follow because of something you've written earlier. So you've got to start again, changing that. And that's what I did yesterday. And I worked for about 3 hours on it. And at the end of those 3 hours, I discovered I had my third draft contained 300 words less than when I'd started.
300 missing words, so you said 300 so, missing words.
Anyway, I consoled myself with the thought that the words I had left were better than the words I had at the start. But then I concluded that if it continued like this, I would have no words left for 3 months. So.
Well, it's a natural line. Now, if Hannah Brown were here, I can guarantee she would probably say, at the next little feature. And probably Tessa Snartwood as well, because with the strap line, all you need is love. A little poster there. Yes, the classic line, as you said, Ian, can you pet an owl? Yes, you can. And we're about to see how that owl is actually developing. There we are. All you need is love.
This is my Facebook entry, wasn't it?
I'm thinking, why aren't you spending more time actually writing than actually posting Facebook videos about owls and so on? But are you an owl fan?
Yes, I love owls. Yeah. So I've got to admit.
I do as well.
Owls.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. There's something extraordinarily attractive about their eyes and the way they sort of look at the world, the most goobish expression. They're quite fierce little things, well, big things as well.
Well, they're predators. And, of course, deliverers of mail in the Harry Potter world.
Yes.
Shaley, all you need is love. You don't seem to be moved, really. She took a glimpse and said, to me, I'm only interested in badges that look like dogs.
I think it was the poon that did it for me.
Yeah, the owl poo. There's no owl poo in the video, actually.
The pun. The pun.
Oh, the pun. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I was like, okay. My mum's a massive fan of owls, though. She's got an entire living room full of owl ornaments and other memorabilia. Yeah. I'm more of an eagle gal. I like a good eagle.
Like
oh,
Abba.
Yes.
Yeah.
Soar like an eagle. Splendid. I forgot to mention Penny Evans, who's contributing to last night's show, even though it was a pre-record. It's all right. Wednesdays are. It's the sort of summer thing that we do now due to construction. Thank you, Penny, for some very sage comments on the whole thing. We look forward to featuring your good self as well in the not-too-distant future. And, of course, Katie Grimmerson will be joining us in next week's production. Up after the news, Lorna Jackson from the Saltburn International Food Festival. We've also got James Thorley and Honey Lancaster and William... not Sitwell, but William Haynes will be talking about the possible likely future shopping trends. He's a futurist, so he should know about these things. But, Ian, would you like to ask Lisa Maria Schwarzenauer if she's enjoyed her particular experience on the Midweek Drive for the last 2 weeks before effectively says, that's it, two is quite enough, I don't want to go for a third, I'm going back to Austria.
Doesn't sound very promising.
What did you do, Alex? Did you put her off?
I blame her boxes that need to be sorted out and delivered and a whole range of things. But that's if you yes. will have books, Lisa, if you will have books.
I do have too many books. The books, it's the book's fault.
You can't have too many books.
No. Yeah, that's what I always think.
Hold them all.
But then there's no such thing as too many books.
Yeah.
For all human beings, for the space of books.
As long as you don't have to carry them around, there's never enough books. But if,
yeah, that's true, yeah.
if you have to carry them.
Just put them on a Kindle, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm a traditionalist. I don't like
Kindle. I like the smell of books. Yeah, you can't smell a Kindle. Exactly. You get weird looks if you start smelling your Kindle.
Yeah, that's really strange. And probably wouldn't smell too nice either. So.
No.
Yeah.
But it's important. I was just distracted there by seeing one of the comments for While You Need His Love, that the owl is fake and they sell them in Japan. Apparently it's called the Hitachi owl. $70. It does fly soft. So it may be true. It may not be true. Still, never mind.
Wow.
So it may not even be a real owl.
Crafty
Ian.
Japanese.
Exactly. It's a future shopping trend. Just check out before you post, Ian, that these things are actually real and living. Otherwise, you know,
fooled you, Alex.
It's gone completely on the whole system there. Never mind. Right. Did you get an answer to that one, Ian? I don't know. I mean, feel that way.
I enjoyed it.
Not really, because I never asked a question, but wouldn't I?
I enjoyed it immensely. And it was a really fun 2 weeks, so I should have come here earlier, but didn't know, so, well.
There you go. Life continues. Ian, what about yourself? Has it been okay for you?
Yes, it's been fine, thank you.
Marvellous. Will you be back with us in a couple of weeks' time or whatever, or a week or so from now? Because actually, we'll in your slot next week, we'll actually have Royal Correspondent and etiquette expert Liz Brewer, who'll probably be able to answer Shaley's oft-asked question. So what does Her Majesty actually call the loo when she's actually... what does she call the water closet? What is the effective protocol? We've already sorted that out, and within a week, Shaley, you should have the
I'll
answer.
I'll have the answer. Exactly. Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah, so we always like to...
That'll be a nice breaker when you ask Her Majesty that, I suppose.
Well, it's a way for it.
Queenie!
Exactly. It's a big piece. Will you be back again, Ian Lennox?
Yes, I will indeed.
Marvellous. Okay, as we said, off to Honey Lancaster, James, Luke Thorley and Lorna Jackson, and heaps of more good stuff coming up after the news on Siren FM, as well as the rest of the day, actually, between 7 and 8 o'clock this evening. We have a wonderful edition of the Stone Tapes, which actually reveals the thoughts of David J. Howe on the last entirety of the season that Peter Capaldi has just wrapped up as far as Doctor Who. But it was actually produced a little bit, just a teeny bit, before the announcement, of course, of the female Doctor. We talked about that at length last week, so we won't say anything else. Shirley, have you enjoyed the programme?
Indeed, yeah, it's been a good one.
Great, and next week. And Lisa, you will still be part of the whole thing because you can send a contact number and we can pester you via the telephone.
Right? Yes, we can do that.
Oh, you can be our official Austrian correspondent. In Vienna?
No, in a place close to Innsbruck. So the other end of Austria, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So the other end of Austria, but
in the mountains.
Great.
Are you going skiing?
Not particularly. I can do it, but I wouldn't describe myself as a good skier.
Right.
Everybody in Austria can ski. It's a matter of a scenario. It's on, of course,
Bambi
snow.
On ice.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Thanks to Miranda Sawyer, Hannah Brown, Sarah Bullimore, Tessa Snart, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, and you, dear listener, for the first segment of the production. Thank you, John Wenham, for providing us with updates of your diary. Marvellous. Don't forget all sorts of things coming through on that sort of basis. And all we have to say now is Auf Wiedersehen. So a one, a two, a three.
Auf Wiedersehen.